T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
Is he David LaFleur? Matt LaFleur, right? Who's David LaFleur?
I was thinking,
what is wrong with me today?
I don't know if you said David LaFleur. We'll check the tape.
Someone will rewind on the app because you can do that now. Matt LaFleur.
And I did that today. I listened to the first hour of the Bernstein McKnight show. Great. And I listened in double speed so I can catch up.
So, wait. Peter LaFleur is from Dodgeball, right?
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure I got everything straight.
And Peter Marshall is Mike Marshall's son.
And then there's the former Cubs pitcher,
Pete LeCocq.
Right.
Can you say Pete on the radio?
Wow.
I think so. I think you're allowed. But yes,
and
Matt
Pete
LaFleur
Sack
is the head. And yes.
And Dick Johnson.
I used to do a newscast with Pete Sack and Dick Johnson. Literally used to do a newscast with those two guys.
Make me a bicycle clown.
It's 100% true. And both those guys are super sweet. Shout out to Dick Johnson and Pete Sack. Pete's probably driving right now listening to The Score. He better be. My name is Lawrence Holmes. I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. We took the show on the road. Today, we are at the Brat Stop. We are right here with all the people as this place is starting to fill out. It's Bears-Packers week. Our sister station, The Fan, 105.7 FM, is over on the other side. I'm going to go mess with those clowns a little bit later on today. We are presented by Kenosha Subaru, and the Subaru Share the Love event going on now through January 2nd. I'm excited. I'm seeing a lot of people dressed up in their gear. That's a nice Mitch Please shirt that guy has on right there. I can't show you, but maybe Brian Gertz on the video stream cam once. That thing is up and running, 670thescore.com. You can check it all out. I have a lot of stuff that I want to do today. I basically want to do a Bears-Packers preview show, even though it's only Friday. Herbie and I have been pouring through a ton of sound, and we have a ton of it that we're going to go through. And hey, Herbie, check this out. I ran across, remember how we were talking about that thing that we heard from Jim Ozarski that sounded crazy to us?
Yes.
I found another piece of sound that backs it up from a very strange source. So at some point today, we're going to get to that because it was a shocking revelation by someone who covers the Packers, and now it has been reinforced. I'll explain what I mean coming up in a little bit, but we start the show as we start all things with a rundown.
Just faxing my dad a rundown.
Run him down!
The Rundown.
Here is your rundown for Friday, December 13th. You know, if the Bears weren't playing for something on Sunday, we would spend a lot of time talking about the White Sox. The White Sox sent out a tweet yesterday asking people about a 10-game ticket plan where they were going to throw in 2 games for free. You should find it for the comments. And as someone who's thinking about renewing their season tickets, I think I'm going to put it on hold, as Jigs would say, for a little while, because I'd like to see them do something more than just Yasmani Grandal. Here's what Rick Hahn had to say about their process and people getting impatient.
Walk out of here enthused that I know we are better today than we were at the start of the offseason, and I suspect by the time we get to spring training, we're going to be better than we are today. Ultimately, again, this whole process started about 3 years ago now. We are thrilled with how much progress we've made. We are impatient about getting to that most rewarding stage of this rebuild when we're ready to win, and we think we've taken steps to get that closer.
Okay, well, I will say that my season ticket renewal is in flux until I see the next thing that they do. I'm just going to put it out there for the world to know. Now let's go over to the Cubs. the winter meetings, they didn't really come away with anything either other than Rule 5 guys. And this is what Cubs GM Jed Hoyer had to say about free agency and trade activity.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's going to be teams that don't end up improving their team as they hoped. You know, I think there's no doubt about that. There weren't enough sort of high quality free agents to go around. Obviously, you know, I think some of the bidding wars on some of these players would indicate that. You know, there's more than one team that's looking to upgrade in those areas. So, you know, it would be logical. But, I mean, I do think this has been a very good, very deep free agent class. And I think, that more than anything else is why I think we've seen this kind of activity.
Yeah, and let's see what the Cubs end up doing with it or if they trade some of their favorite pieces from the team so they can get some more financial flexibility. Didn't they just make billions? Never mind. Let's move on to the Hawks. Hawks struggle bus continues.
We're talking. We just listen. You can handle a couple of odd man rushes in a game. It's not a couple. It's a lot. So eventually, NHL players are gonna score when they get to odd man rushes and these types of chances. So we have to work together. We really have to start work a little bit better together and defend together, and we'll be fine.
Another loss for the Blackhawks. Robin Leonard is. Become the most vocal hockey player that I can remember. I'm not sure that he's always right about things that he says, but he at least has opinions on things and seems willing to share those opinions. On to the NFL. How much fun is Lamar Jackson? Because I find myself watching that kid play and just smiling and worrying and going, hey, please, someone, take him out of the game when you're up 3 touchdowns. And then he just does magical stuff.
Jackson, shake and bake. Jackson turns it upfield. Jackson has just set the all-time single-season rushing record for a quarterback, breaking Michael Vick's mark. Lamar Jackson, 1,043 yards on the ground.
He's got more rush yards than a bunch of teams in the NFL. That is, he is an electric player, and I hope that he stays as healthy as he can for as long as he can, because he makes the game fun. And watching him drop dimes on people is a bonus too. I know that I heard Hub saying, "Oh, you know, he's not an NFL passer," and I kind of went, "Huh?" Because he's not just doing it with his legs. He is making plays. And the touchdown to Hollywood Brown, where Brown made that gorgeous toe tap, the kid is slinging it, along with being a threat running the ball. So I don't see how he doesn't win MVP. But more than that, I think that there is something to learn. I'm not sure how much you learn from the way that he was brought about. But when you have a special talent, you allow that special talent to grow, and that's what they've done. They have put all their resources into him, and it just looks fun. And when was the last time you thought about Baltimore and their offense being fun? I think that he's had a better passing year than any quarterback in Ravens history too. Not just the legs, y'all. This guy is legit. On to the Bears. Matt Nagy said this about his safety, Clinton Dix, and him going back to Green Bay.
On a much smaller spectrum, I've been traded away as a player, and I know what that feels like when you play them again. So to each their own. I'm sure he'll be fired up. But it's not about a personal deal with him. I know he'll be focused there to help his defense out.
Sorry, I did not know this, but where were you? You were traded from where to where?
I was traded a couple times. I was traded from Georgia, the Georgia Force, to the Columbus Destroyers, and then we played them in the NFC Championship game of the Arena League. We dominated them. I'll never forget that game.
What was toward you? Did you encounter a lot of hostility?
You know who traded me? You know who traded me? You want a good story?
I do. Always.
Doug Plank. Well, we're good friends.
What was the compensation?
What?
What was the compensation?
Like,
what were you
worth? Like one of the top 5 defensive ends in the league. So I was worth something.
Did you light him up?
Huh?
Did you light him up?
I'll just say we won.
It's all right. You can say you lit him up in the Arena League. That's a funny story about the Arena League and Doug Plank, the Mr. 46 himself, trading Matt Nagy back in the day. I hate to be the guy that douses the cold water, but I'm pretty sure the Bears got rid of Adrian Amos, and he's playing on the other side of this. So it kind of washes out the revenge game for HaHa Clinton Dix, especially considering that it was Adrian Amos that put an end to the first game these two teams played. So that is your rundown for Friday, December 13th, 2019. We are doing the show from the Broad Stop here in Kenosha, Wisconsin. It's brought to you by Kenosha Subaru, which is located just minutes from the Broad Stop, 7900 120th Avenue in Kenosha. I want to talk about this matchup, and for the most part, the rest of this show is going to be all Bears-Packers. It is a game of consequence. It still matters. The Bears find themselves in a position where they can extend their season with a win, or their season can be over with a loss. The Packers are looking to keep their seeding. They're looking for a better placement in the NFC playoffs, which is going to be a straight-up fist fight, which I can't wait for, and maybe the Bears will sneak their way into the fist fight. I'm going to talk with our Bears beat reporter, Mark Grody, next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I told you, quit asking me that.
No, don't do that. Keep asking. Those are all the things that you want to do. Why? Because it's Bears-Packers weekend. The Bears need a win to keep their season alive. The Packers are looking to increase and improve their playoff seeding. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and we are doing the show today from the Broad Stop, right off of exit 354 on I-94 into Wisconsin. We are going to be here the rest of the day. Our sister station from Milwaukee is here too. They're talking about it from the Packers' perspective. We're trying to do our best to talk about it from the Bears' perspective, and we are presented by Kenosha Subaru. And the Subaru Share the Love event going on now through January 2nd. Ordinarily, we have J.J. Stankovic on Friday. He's our guy on Fridays. But J.J. had, well, he didn't, but his wife had twins. So J.J.'s on IR. He's on IR for the rest of the year.
Why is he on IR? He didn't deliver those kids.
Well, he's on IR because he's on paternity leave.
Come on, JJ.
It's a right. And so he's, I know you were. He's on IR for the rest of the year and is not slated to return, even if the Bears make the playoffs. Maybe, we'll see. Maybe he'll pull a Nakeem Hicks and come back. So I was like, hey, we haven't talked with our guy Mark Grody in a while, and he's delightful. So why don't we talk with Mark Grody? He joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from. Hello, Groats.
Lawrence, speaking of delightful, I was just huddling up with some of the beat writers in the media room here at Halas Hall, where I exist at this very moment, and the discussion was about, and you probably remember this from your days of covering the Bears, who is in the running for the Media Good Guy Award this year.
Yes.
That is the player on the Bears who was most accessible, maybe most helpful, most available, and I don't know, friendly towards the media. So that's the big discussion going on backstage here right now at Halas Hall.
So who's leading in the votes right now?
Well, I'll give you some of the names that are being bantied about. One of them is Allen Robinson, 12, who is obviously he's the Bears' best player on offense for sure. And he has been extremely available, takes all questions. He allows people to march up to him and do one-on-one. So he's in the running. Taylor Gabriel has been excellent to us. There's a couple of dark horse candidates. Those are the guys that are interesting. One of them is mine. and that's Kyle Fuller. Now, Kyle Fuller is a really quiet guy. He doesn't give, like, this super exuberant interview, but he is so available during open locker room. He just sits there and allows anybody to come up to him and talk to him. And then the one that one beat reporter is pushing for, and I don't know if he wants his name behind this, I'll just say a beat reporter, is Mitchell Trubisky. Because, and Trubisky, you know, pretty much has to do media, but it's been such a crazy...
He wouldn't get my vote. He wouldn't get my vote, because there's been a little too many snippy altercations with him. Even last week, where you once Potsy asked about the Tremont Williams comment, Mitch got real snippy. He's like, I don't want to hear nonsense, and giving one and two word answers. So I need a scouting report on Prince Amukamara for this award.
Oh yeah, well he got it last year, so I think that he would definitely be eligible for the repeat win. I think similar to, you know, Charles Barkley and Karl Malone swooping in for MVPs over Jordan, there might be a similar scenario this year. Where it probably is Prince Amukamara. He is the most available, friendliest guy. Even on game day, he is available and gives really incredibly thoughtful answers to everything and honest to a fault at times. So yeah, he's definitely a guy that probably should deserve the votes or even take the trophy home again this year.
Well, how is he health-wise?
Health-wise, Mr. Amukamara is very... Yesterday was an incredibly important day because he practiced in full. We were just out at practice right now. I can't tell you everything I saw, but I will say that I have a pretty good feeling that Prince Amukamara will be good to go this Sunday. Interesting thing is that I thought it was very interesting that Kevin Tolliver obviously played this past week, and Dallas did not attack him very much. And Tolliver, I talked to Tolliver earlier this week about that, and I said, were you surprised? And before I could even get the question out of my mouth, he was like, yeah, I was really surprised they didn't attack me more, that they didn't go after me. So I don't know if there's a respect for Kevin Tolliver out there, but it seems like he comported himself well in case he does either have to start if there's a last-second change with Amukamara, or if Amukamara re-injures a hamstring at some point in time. You're starting to see some improvements in Kevin Tolliver's play.
Sticking with the injury theme, how is Akeem Hicks, and do you expect that he will play?
I do expect that Akeem Hicks will play. For the first time, we got to see him ramping it up. You know, a lot of times when we get to see our little portion of practice, it's just light drills, or in some cases, it's in Akeem Hicks specifically, just standing around and sitting in that little window before they really go at it in practice. But I saw him hitting it hard in some drills and not favoring anything and not trying to slow. Like, he was going 100%. We'll see how that translates to the field Sunday at Lambeau Field. And yeah, I expect him to give it a go. And if after a couple of sets out there, he doesn't feel good, he would obviously come out of the game. But I got a good feeling that he's going to be ready to go. I mean, he has been, for whatever it's worth, and we don't know how much it was last week, he's been practicing for 2 weeks now. So hopefully he is closer to getting in game shape and at some, you know, I wouldn't say full strength. I don't know if you're going to get full force Akeem Hicks, but obviously, and everybody has been saying it, you get 90% of that guy and you're still in really good shape.
Groats, I know that you've covered this team, you know, every day. You're there with them all the time. I think that Hicks choosing to do his rehab there instead of leaving the team has some significance to it. Am I overstating it?
No, I don't think so, because it's not always the case. I mean, he chose to be here, and then B, he's on the sidelines, which is not necessarily odd for players on IR or players that are injured. They're on the sideline during the games, but he's played an extremely active part. He has continued to be a leader during those games and even in the locker room. Like, that to me has been the odd part. As you said, being here every day, Akeem Hicks has been around, like, even in the locker room, you know, and we're not allowed to do any formal interviews with him, any on-the-record interviews with him when he's injured, and that's the case with any injured player. But he's been available, he's been affable, He's talked to us. He's let us see him and, the progress that he's been making and things like that. So he's been extremely present. And it would also be very easy, I think, for a veteran player like that to, considering the Bears, the way the Bears season has gone, to say, hey, let's just shut this thing down and get myself ready for next year, or protect my body for my own sake and for my own future. But Hicks has wanted none of that. And, you know, I have him on the pregame show this week, and he talked about, you know, really just how agonizing it was to not be able to be out there. And he used the word feeling helpless during games when he was standing on the sideline, helpless other than, you know, kind of being a motivational force and cheering his guys on.
Our Bears beat reporter Mark Grody is joining me here on The Score as we talk about Bears versus Packers. What has been the discussion this week at Halas? Because the reason I ask is, it's clear which team, to me, listening to some of the stuff out of Green Bay, is the underdog versus which team is the overdog. Because in Green Bay, there's minutes upon minutes upon minutes upon minutes talking about the rivalry and the history of it. And I feel like the stuff that I've heard coming out of Halas has less to do about the overall rivalry and the fact that, and more to do with the fact that the Packers are in the Bears' way in 2019.
Yeah, I don't think I have asked one single question about the rivalry like that. And I'm sure other people have. But to me, that has been so far from what this game is about. Yeah, the rivalry is there. It'll be fun. It'll be a blast. You guys are having a blast doing what you're doing today at the broadcast. But this game is, about the Bears being properly motivated and in complete sudden death mode. You know, they have to win. And Green Bay, I think, you know, from Green Bay's perspective, they know they've got things wrapped up. They know that they're going to the playoffs. But I think that they also understand that right now, the way Green Bay has played over the last three or four games, and maybe even during this entire season, they don't seem like a team right now that is equipped to go to a Super Bowl. They come across like a potential early exit in the playoff team just because of how inconsistent at times they have looked. And I know that sounds crazy to say for a 10-win team, but they have not been a dominant team. They simply have not. And I think that the Bears are trying to get in, and I think the Packers are trying to refine things before they go into the postseason this year. So that I completely you have heard it right, Lawrence, that there hasn't been a lot about the rivalry, that this is all business, and it's still a reach for the Bears to make the playoffs, but they are looking at it that way.
What do the coaches say about why the offense has looked better over the last couple of weeks, and how much credence do they give to the opponents that they played versus actual improvement of the offense?
Well, it's funny that Matt Nagy pointed at, he didn't say me per se, but he said the play calling has been better as well. I mean, he threw it in with everything else, but I think that was the first time I heard that come out of his mouth, that, you know, look, everybody has been better, blah, blah, blah. But the play calling has been better too. I think one of the biggest revelations too in this offense is, and I've talked about it a million times this year, that this offense runs on tight ends, or at least the blueprint of this offense runs on tight ends. And you got nothing from Trey Burton and Adam Shaheen. I mean, there was nothing there. And you're not getting blockbuster play now out of your tight ends, but Jesper Horsted and J.P. Holtz are giving you something. Even the four catches Horsted had last week didn't play a huge part, but it was more than you were getting, and you at least had that image of a tight end there, somebody that was going to make a play. And obviously Holtz had an excellent game where he had a couple of big-time plays, big-time catch and runs. And to have that aspect of your offense back has been incredibly important. And then on the wide receiver side of things, Anthony Miller, just that he is running the correct routes, making plays. I don't think anybody runs with more ferocity than Anthony Miller when he catches the football. And then how about a couple of the passes that, well, we know what Trubisky did with his legs, how important that has been to opening up this offense, but there were a couple of impossible throws that he connected on last week against Dallas, which I think epitomized some of his improvement along with the legs. There was the pass to Allen Robinson right before he ran the 23-yard touchdown where he strings it in. Robinson takes a pretty vicious hit. but it was just a bang-bang play. And then the play to Anthony Miller, where he gets it right in between two defenders. And those were plays that earlier this year, either Trubisky wouldn't attempt to make, or they would have gotten batted down or intercepted. So there's been improvement all throughout.
What's something that I wouldn't know unless I had been in Halas Hall this week?
Probably that it's been the most festive feeling week of the season in this locker room, that they have been loud in the locker room, that there is an enthusiasm. And I'm not, and maybe this will be a question for the locker room today, I'm not sure why that is. If it is just because, is it simply because they are winning football games and they're in contention and what looked like a busted season has now revived? But yeah, it's been as loud, and they have been as available, and it has been as festive as it has ever been. And it's not like this team has not been a, you know, hold your head down low and mope around the locker room kind of. I mean, there's some of that, but it has ramped up big time this week in terms of the enthusiasm level.
You brought up Mitchell Trubisky when we were talking about the Good Guy Award. On the field, what would you say is the biggest difference on why he's found success?
I think simplifying, and not just simplifying from Matt Nagy's standpoint, but I think that he has imposed his will in that regard finally. I don't know if Mitchell Trubisky completely trusted the coaching staff when they would say, hey, we want to know what you're comfortable with. I don't think maybe he didn't want to admit at times, look, I'm not capable of running this entire crazy playbook. Like who would want to? You know, it's like you're admitting that is not in your capacity to do every single thing that Matt Nagy promised would make him a great quarterback and this would be a great offense. So I think imposing his will to the coaching staff and then imposing his will on the field. I mean, it means so much to see him, you know, running the football on those scrambles, the two passes that I highlighted for you, and the fact that he feels like he has the freedom to do that. Because I don't think that earlier this year he felt like he necessarily had the freedom to take off. It was so in his head that Matt Nagy wanted him to be a pass-first quarterback that he took that as at all costs. So instead of maybe running when he saw the green grass in front of him, he would fling the ball downfield or fling the ball out of bounds or even take a sack. I mean, there were so many times last year where he eluded sack. And this year, you know, he'll take a sack. And you're like, wait a minute, what are you doing? You were so good at that. He just waited too long for that, you know, pocket to open up. And, you know, he is imposing his will throughout this entire game plan now.
Groats, as always, I appreciate the great work. Have fun on Sunday up at Lambeau. And I heard that footing is a little slick up there at Lambeau this year. So make sure you got proper footwear.
Really? Okay, that's good to know. Plus, it's going to be 15 degrees, so I live my life in layers right now, and I will continue to do that.
You are the man. Thank you, sir.
Bye, Lawrence.
That is Mark Grody. You can listen to him on our sister station's broadcast, WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. He works for us during the week, though, which is great. All right, Herbie, I know that I'm supposed to go to break, but I'd like to audible right now. Okay?
Red 7.
All right, so this is how we're going to audible, because I'm sure that people that listen to the show every day will hear me do an Amy Kite read. What they don't know is that Amy Kite is actually here at the Broad Stop because she listens to the show all the time, and she wanted to check up to make sure I was doing the read right. So this time, instead of me like introducing myself to talk about Amy Kite, I got Amy Kite just right here hanging out. Hi. Wait.
I'm on.
Oh, there you are. Were you
Sorry.
Doing like sexy high?
Yeah,
like what was that?
Like, hey, Lawrence.
Okay, so if people are buying or selling a home, why should they call you?
For the experience that we provide for our clients, for the fact that we can guarantee to sell their home if it doesn't sell to the public. So there's a lot of reasons why people call us. And we've got some of our team here today, too. We're all checking you out, Lawrence.
Yeah, I see that the team is here, and they're happy. I didn't know there was Amy Kite hat swag. I have a cup, but I don't have the hat. Oh. I need one of those.
Okay, we're on it. We'll get it.
You're on it?
Yes.
All right, good. This is the person that I would trust to sell my home. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, this is the person that you want on your team. And to let you understand, like, we have what we like to call a partnership. Yes. And that's why I roll with Amy. So you should roll with her, too, because the way that she supports this radio show is the way that she's going to support you in buying or selling a home. So you're like, okay, Lawrence, how can I talk with Amy? Here's how. You just call her, 847-877-9881, or online at amywillsellyourhome.com. That's amywillsellyourhome.com. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. That's Amy Kite. We need to take a break. When we come back, why is Mitch better? And what are the things that he needs to continue to improve on? I'll break that down for you next here on The Score. We took the show on the road. We're at the Broad Stop thanks to Kenosha Subaru. Visit KenoshaSubaru.com. For more details, I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2. We're talking Bears, Packers. We're breaking it down from every possible angle that we can. With the first pick in the plumbing and heating supply draft, contractors select SupplyHouse.com. With next-day delivery speed and total inventory coverage, SupplyHouse.com does it all. Stop wasting your time and money. SupplyHouse.com, your online supplier for plumbing, heating, and HVAC. Take it to the house, SupplyHouse.com. I've been doing a lot of looking around to see what Green Bay is saying about the Bears over the last couple of days. And I found some stuff really interesting, some more than others. Like, I think that Aaron Rodgers, and I'll get to him in a little bit, some of the stuff that he said about the Bears is more interesting than Matt LaFleur has said. But Matt LaFleur did say something interesting about Mitchell Trubisky, and I wanted to share that with you and what he worries about when it comes to Mitch getting out of the pocket.
I just think it goes back to what we talked about the other day, is just making sure that we're extremely disciplined in everything we do. We know that he's a threat in the run game with some of the zone read stuff, and then also being disciplined with our rush lanes, making sure that we try to keep him bottled up, so because he is an athletic guy and he can make off-schedule throws, and if it's not there downfield, he can pull it and run.
He can. He can absolutely pull it and run, and we saw that in work last week against the Cowboys, where he posted his biggest rushing numbers of the year and almost half of the rushing total for him for the season. He had 64 yards. He has 134 yards on the ground. I think that it is, if your hope is for Mitchell Trubisky to become the Bears franchise quarterback and not worry about the position, he has to use that part of his quarterbacking weaponry. It's a must. It can't be the other way. He has to be able to do that. And it's not just like, I don't think he's Lamar, because I don't know if anyone in the history of the game has been that guy, but I do think that what he can do, I've always joked about him being the baby of Ben Roethlisberger and Russell Wilson from a running to open up window standpoint to throw. He needs that part of his game. It keeps defenses more honest, and it allows him to make plays. And what I wish in an honest moment that you could find out if they actually are simplifying, or if Mitch is like, you know what, I'm looking at my first read, my second read. If it's not there, I'm going to take off. Now, the way that Dallas plays defense allowed for some of that stuff to happen. I am curious to see if the Packers use a spy against him. If we see where's Martinez lined up, I want to know that. And are the rush lanes disciplined by the Packers? Like Matt LaFleur was saying, you've got to try and keep some contain if you're the Smith brothers for Green Bay. And we'll see if they end up doing that in the game. But I think that it is the idea of him being a primarily pocket passer, and that's going to lead to his career success, I think is a little questionable. I think the goal should be him using all the weapons at his disposal. And his legs are absolutely a weapon that can cause problems for defenses, because you don't know where he might be. Anthony Heron, who is one of our experts, does a great job, and you'll actually be able to hear him on the post-post show on The Score with Olin Krutz. We sat down with him earlier this week, and he gave a really, really incredible breakdown of Mitch. I'll get to that in a second. First, let me tell you that this segment is being brought to you by Casper.com. Don't let the stress of holiday shopping keep you up at night. Casper has gifts for every dreamer. Go to Casper.com now and use the code GIFTS for $25 off gift orders over $100. It expires on Christmas Eve. Terms and conditions apply. See Casper.com/terms. Okay. This is what Anthony is seeing. He goes over the tape. He watches the game with a fine-tooth comb. Here's why he think Mitch has the chance to be better and show better.
Where I told you after the Detroit game that I didn't think that was, while statistically it was his most impressive game of the season, but I don't think it was his best game, just grading snap by snap, how decisive did he look, play by play, how accurate was he with the ball, whether or not the decision-making process was leading to consistency and results from the first quarter through the fourth quarter. I thought it was another game where Mitch sort of ascended throughout the game, and because of how well the O-line and the receivers played, then it even enhanced his productivity, whereas last night was not just the best game of this season, but the best game of Mitch Trubisky's career, and not that the numbers completely bear that out. It wasn't like statistically, you know, he put up 350 yards throwing the ball, but what I've called for a couple of times in talking to you this season is for Mitch to come out early and be in attack mode. And that's where he was. I think I said it to you or to Dan and Connor at one point a few weeks ago, where Mitch was to the point in the season to me where, because I felt like there were some things lacking with the way the game was being called, the way the game was being managed by Matt Nagy, by his offensive staff, and the way receivers were dropping balls, pass protection breaking down left and right, then to me, I felt like Mitch needed to get to a point where I didn't care if he threw three interceptions, as long as he threw a couple of touchdown passes in there as well. I just wanted to see Mitch begin to attack defenses more and do it from the onset of the game as opposed to ramping up towards that. And he was in attack mode from jump last night. I mean, after that 17-play drive that the Cowboys opened the contest with, and, you know, who knows how soon those Boo Birds might come out at Soldier Field. It was like this city was becoming Philadelphia for a minute, where they were just waiting for opportunities to boo Nagy and boo Trubisky, boo the offense, boo the disappointment of this season at large. And they came out, methodically moved their way down the field. And even that opening interception, which was a bad read and a bad ball, but Mitch said, you know what? I like Javon Wims. I like Anthony Miller. I'm still not completely sure who he was trying to throw the ball to, because it wasn't really close to either one of them. He saw five defenders in the end zone and said, all right, F it, man. I'm attacking. I'm going to fit it into wherever he was trying to fit it into. It just didn't work out. But every play before that on the drive was stellar, and then right after that, he was stellar yet again. It's the best game he played throughout his career because every aspect of his skill set was on to play, and it was being deployed correctly, adequately throughout the entire night by his head coach, Matt Nagy, which I've been calling for since the very first game of this season. I just tweeted out a reminder to folks about where I've been at on Mitch throughout this entire season, because it's one thing to me for fans who are going to have an emotional investment in the result more than the process, and I get that. But people in my role are supposed to include context in their evaluation of the quarterback position and all others. But the quarterback position is the one we can most easily look at, even though we don't know the design of every play, but he's the dude who has the ball on every snap. And the conversation about Mitch Trubisky just hasn't included much context. It's just been about when the Bears lose a game, it's his fault, or when the offense doesn't score points, it's his fault. And whenever, you know, I come on this show or come on TV or whatever else, it's like, well, Mitch can play better, but... And then you give the examples of why other folks are thwarting what really is being brought to the table by him on certain plays, and folks just want to make it sound like you're caping for Mitch. Last night doesn't mean Mitch arrived, but what we've seen in recent weeks from Matt Nagy in this Bears offense means to me we can now get a true evaluation of whether or not Mitch can have success in the National Football League. And I don't think it's just been the last three games, the last four games. I think that it's been since the Chargers game, which at that point I told you was the best game he'd had of the season. And until last night, it was. Results in the Chargers game didn't indicate that from a scoreboard standpoint, but what it showed me was that Mitch, in a situation where the Bears had to have him play well, he did it. The teammates around him, though, all those drops and all those protection issues and everything else was going on with the missed field goals, that still ended up being a Bears defeat. But that's not the fair way, the proper way to evaluate whether or not a quarterback is developing.
I like that Anthony Heron spoke with conviction and a little bit of anger. Talking about, let me tell you about Mitch Trubisky. I hope Mitch plays well for Anthony's sake. But Anthony's been honest with his assessment of it all year. I think that one of the main components is he's the leg weapon has to be in play. I don't think that, and I don't want this to sound like a knock on Mitch, because I do think it takes guys a little while to get really comfortable winning from the pocket. I don't think that he's complete yet as a pocket quarterback. And until he is, use that weapon. It makes defenses uncomfortable. Make yourself more comfortable by making the defense uncomfortable. Bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena. That's the ticket. Home opponents include Michigan State, Michigan, and Purdue. Season and single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. When we come back, so we had a little fun with this on yesterday's show. And if you missed it, don't miss it twice. I talked with someone who covered the Packers who said something about the way this game could play out that absolutely blew my mind. And then I went searching around like Diogenes with a lamp looking for an honest man, and it got backed up. Marshawn is the only one who got that. That's fine. It got backed up by a source that I was not expecting to back it up. You will hear this scary claim and the incredible source that backs it up next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.